Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting. And good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Faith Radio Mornings on listener-supported Faith Radio. No, I'm not Peter Kapsner. He, unfortunately, over the weekend, yesterday, we got a text from him around about, what, Rachel and I got it at the same time, 4 or 5 in the afternoon. He had hurt his back lifting up the bag of rock salt he was going to put into his water softener. And so he's in a little pain this morning. So, Peter, hopefully you're doing better this morning if you're listening. And next time, remember, lift with your legs, not with your back. Yeah, well, anyway, but the show must go on. And we have a full show on this 10th day of December. Can you believe it? We are 15 days away from Christmas. Now, depending on who you ask, that's either a long time or a short time. You ask the average kid, 15 days till Christmas. What do you think of that? That long? Average parent is going, only that amount of time left. Anyway, that's all a matter of perception, I guess. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. I got a great show coming up. Now, in about a half hour, we'll be talking with Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. The situation with Asia Bibi, the Pakistani woman who was accused of blasphemy, then was about a month and a half ago, I think now, acquitted of those charges. But still, the hope is to get her out of Pakistan. She's still there. And what is the hang up with that? People are wondering. Plus, in Indonesia right now, there's been released. We all love our apps. We love our smartphones. I love my apps and such. There's an app for reporting heresy. And that has a lot of people concerned. We'll be talking about those things coming your way in about a half hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. Up next, though, we're in the Christmas season, and it's a great time of year, but also it can be a hard time of year at many levels. And, we talk about family togetherness. We talk about, humanity, a goodness humanity and like that. And yet, oftentimes we see brokenness in the world. And dealing with that in the Advent season in a wonderful way is a devotional. I won't call it a devotional. It's a guide that an organization called Erebon, along with the Common Rule, which is a new ministry out there, to put together, especially around the area of racial reconciliation and justice. And we're going to be talking with David Bailey here in a few moments on Faith Radio Mornings. So stay with us as we continue 7 minutes after the hour. Thanks for listening this morning to Faith Radio Mornings. Familiar part of O Holy Night, one of the most popular Christmas songs. We've been asking a lot of our guests as they come on what their favorite Christmas song is, and that one keeps coming up. So, well, I got to ask David Bailey right now about that. David Bailey joining us from the organization called Erebon. Hey, Merry Christmas, David.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, my brother.
Yeah,
how are you doing today?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing really great.
Good. Well, like I said, we've been asking a lot of our guests as we're heading up to the Christmas season, do you have a favorite Christmas or Advent song? And I know that's hard for you because you're a music guy.
Yeah, I have grown to really love Advent a lot, and I would say Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Why? Tell us about that.
Man, I just think, the whole being reminded of God being with us, and just the longing that, in the context in which Jesus was born in, it was 400 years of silence. It was Roman oppression amongst God's people, and Jesus came, and God's going to come again to make everything right, you know. And so I just, it has meant a lot to me over the years.
Yeah, I agree. That is that mournful but hopeful longing. It just it's haunting and wonderful. I agree with you on that one. So, hey, David, as we reintroduce you to a lot of our listeners, it's been a while since we've had you on. Tell us about yourself and your organization, Erebon.
Yeah, so I lead a ministry called Erebon, and what we do is that we help and equip Christian leaders in their communities in a ministry of reconciliation. And it's important to understand that we just don't just do racial reconciliation. That could even be a little too narrow. Yes, it includes that, but the word reconciliation means that something was broken and now it's coming back together. We're reconciling our relationship with God. But then the evidence of our reconciliation with God is manifest in the evidence of our reconciliation with one another. And so that includes cultural, that includes class, education, that includes, of course, racial. Looking at our history, there's a lot that's broken that was broken yesterday that we need to help to engage and practice with Jesus and reconciling today. And so that is the work that we help people do on a practical level.
Now, remind our listeners, too, because I remember you telling your story some time ago, how you got involved in this whole idea of reconciliation, and it came out of your work in music.
Yeah, what happened, I worked for a long time as a music producer and a music director. And basically, when you're a music producer and you're a music director, you're a cultural anthropologist. You know, what makes the person dance at the country club, what makes the person dance at the Black Pentecostal church, and I'll say what makes the Presbyterian sway is all cultural anthropology. And I realized that pastors and ministry leaders, they would say, hey, oh, I'm just going to preach the gospel, I'm just going to do our mission. But they didn't realize that they were doing their work within some type of cultural expression, and we don't get rid of that. Well, if you want to engage across culture, you need to be paying attention to the culture that you want to engage, and you also need to pay attention to your own culture. And sometimes there's a broken history in between. So long story short, as I started doing a lot of teaching and training in this area, it just really grew into this ministry where we help people. The word Erebon means a foretaste of things to come, and we try to help the church be a foretaste of what heaven is like.
Yeah, that's kind of the key thing. I mean, the church should be, in many ways, on the front lines of offering this gracious gathering of people together, you know, bringing that reconciliation. That's what we're called to do, a ministry of reconciliation, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Second Corinthians 5. And I just think most people want to, but they just don't know how to. And depending on, you know, you could be of an older generation, and you know, or younger generation, we all just don't really oftentimes know how to do this. And so we, as a ministry, spend Monday through Friday trying to figure out the best practices and the right theology, not only just the right knowledge, epistemology, but also the right ethics according to the scriptures. And the world needs this kind of hope. I mean, the world's not going to have the answer on how to engage in the ministry of reconciliation.
Now, that brings us to the discussion of this Common Rule Erebon joint effort in doing a Christmas, or should I say Advent guide. Now, what prompted that?
Yeah, so just a little background. We're part of a church in the community where we were inspired by Dr. John Perkins. And in this community, we engage in community development. And so within a mile and a half radius of where we live, we worship together, we work together, and we have people who are both wealthy and people who are poor in our community. And we were just trying to figure out, like, what's good news? And what happened when our church got started, we really started off at mission first, and then we started to worship together. When we decided to worship together, we realized people came from all different type of traditions. And Advent was something that meant a lot to some of our more liturgical brothers and sisters. So because we didn't have a bias into how it looked, we just said, hey, so tell me, what is Advent about? Like, and explain this. It's about the longing. It's about kind of Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming and when all things will be made right. And we actually realized that in our community where there is economic and sometimes violent. And you know, like last week, one of the kids who was involved in our youth ministry was murdered last week. And that should never be, you know. And eventually in Revelation 21, it says there will be no need for mourning. You know, there will be no need for tears. And so, you know, Advent has become a really, really important aspect of our church, along with both celebrating the resurrection. And so we just have constantly been trying to think of freshly every year, what is it can we do to engage in Advent? And my brother Justin Early, he does a thing called the Common Rule, where, you know, Justin was dealing with a lot of anxiety and mental health issues, and he was just a lawyer that was always on and on and on and on. And so he started to try to kind of engage in the Common Rule, picking up some of those practices that brothers in monasteries used to do back in the day. And he said, like, hey, what if I, like, don't pick up my phone before I read scripture? And what if I, you know, do certain things to be kind of both present to God and present to my neighbor? And so he did that and started to do an Advent devotional that we started to adapt in our own community. And then he said, hey, I feel like we should do something about reconciliation. And so Erebon helped to write the morning devotionals and collaborate with him on how do we kind of shape and orient our heart to engage both God and our neighbor and the brokenness that's going on in the world, and to be oriented towards reconciliation.
Okay. We're talking with David Bailey here on Faith Radio Mornings, and when we come back, we'll get into the Advent guide from the Common Rule, which, you know, there's some stuff that I want to read that just was awakening to me as I've been going through this the last week or so. So stay with us. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Twenty minutes after the hour, Faith Radio Mornings, and there you go, David. Come, come, Emmanuel. Rachel was quick on the draw and got that song for you.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Rachel.
Anyway, we're talking with David Bailey from Erebon. Remind us again, what does the Erebon mean? I love the meaning. I just keep forgetting the way you phrase it. So,
Erebon means a foretaste of things to come, or a deposit. And the way it's used in the New Testament is that the Holy Spirit's given to the church as a foretaste of the heaven that's to come, of eternity that's to come. Well, the world doesn't get the Holy Spirit. You have to accept Jesus in your life, and the Holy Spirit will indwell you. Well, what the church, what the world gets is the church to be a foretaste of what heaven is. So we try to help the body of Christ be a foretaste of what heaven is like.
There you go. Well, we're talking about Advent right now, and Erebon, along with an organization called The Common Rule, put together Advent guide. And when I saw this on social media about a week and a half ago, I had to download it, and I've been going through it with you. And I tell you, David, powerful stuff in there. And the intro really jumped out at me because, first off, now we started off this segment with you with playing the song O Holy Night, or the portion that talks about chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. O Holy Night became so popular in the U.S. during the Civil War, if I remember right, because of that phrase. You know that?
I didn't know that history.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I talked to Ace Collins some time ago, who has these books about different Christmas carols, and that one jumped out. But you guys bring that to fore here, and you mentioned Justin early, he wrote in the intro, you know, oftentimes we like having Christmas to be so perfect, you know, the candle lights and the Christmas trees and everything just there, the precious moments figurine version of the nativity, and yet Advent and the actual coming of Christ was a little more disturbing. And the phrase that really jumped out at me is about that. Advent should be disturbing. Advent is the declaration that something is broken in the way we treat each other. Expound upon that.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, ever since Genesis 3, you know, we just haven't been treating each other well. I mean, we clearly you're looking at Adam and Eve began to blame one another. Their sons literally killed one another. And it's just been a hot mess ever since.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's important for us to understand this isn't just only interpersonal. These things happen systemically, you know. And depending on how much money you have, how much education you have, kind of part of the promise in America is that we can kind of get our life, if we work hard enough, we can get our life to a place where we don't have to deal with the brokenness. And we could actually, you know, we're applauded if we deal with it from a philanthropic standpoint. But, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, whether you have a lot or you have a little bit. If you're Christian, we're called to seek out challenge. It's almost like the police officer whose job is literally to look for trouble, you know. We, as Christians, are to look to see kind of what is God doing, you know, and where is Jesus at work and where are we to partner with Jesus in. And so part of sometimes the way the commercialization of Christmas can actually distract us from taking this opportunity to understand where Jesus is coming. And or we could even if we don't get engaged with the commercialization of Christmas, what we could do is even in the church calendar skip to Jesus' coming because we know how important Jesus is. But in order to really make Christmas and the epiphany of Jesus really important, we need to understand the context and the longing that why people were looking for a Messiah. And when we talk about a Messiah, the Messiah was not only just a spiritual deliverer, but it was an economic, a political, and a sociological deliverer. And so this is why, you know, more that we can understand why Jesus was here, the more that we can really appreciate and see why it's important when Jesus shows up and the ways that we can partner with God for Jesus to show up in people's lives in the here and the now.
Now, again, there's this guide that's developed. It's kind of a devotional, but it's more than that, the common rule put together with you for the Advent season. Now, since you helped put it together, can you give our listeners what it's like to walk through this guide during the Advent season?
Yeah, so basically every day there are some daily practices, and then there are some weekly practices. And so in the morning, what we do is before you actually jump into, you know, the busyness of the day, one of the common rules is that we would not pick up our phone and start answering emails or scrolling through.
Oh, now you're getting personal, you know. David.
All of these things. We would do that before we actually we would read scripture before we do that. So then the other thing that we do is we explore some of we commit to regularly praying. We also meet with somebody. We try to engage with a friend across boundaries. We listen to we have some songs, some Advent songs that kind of talk about different aspects of longing and getting our hearts prepared and shaped. And so we have some daily practices and we have some what we call seasonal practice. And actually, at the very end, there's actually a Christmas liturgy that you could do with your family, and there's some ministries that you could partner with in order to kind of put your heart towards reconciliation, because Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart is there also. So, you know, we hope that you do all of it, that it just doesn't become a informational practice, but it actually becomes a formational practice because we're engaging in these four daily habits and these four seasonal habits.
Mm-hmm. Great thought. Now, how can people get it? Because it's a free download. It's a PDF file. Where can they get it?
So, yeah, so you go to thecommonrule.org and you can click on get the Advent edition, and it's going to be in the right top corner. And it says, let me see, I'm logging on right now. So you go on www.thecommonrule.org and go to Daily Advent Reading. It's going to be to your right. And each week you can print off a PDF version. And, I'm sorry, you can print off a PDF version for every single day, and you can explore the actual habits, you can listen to messages, and all of that. And then I just also want to encourage you to pre-order Justin Early's book. He'd be a great person to have on his radio station. He, you know, this common rule, I mean, it just literally saved his life. He was just, you know, we Americans oftentimes live at such a level of frenetic energy that's not healthy for our bodies and our souls.
Again, you're getting personal here, David. I don't know.
And Justin just had some really great revelation in that area, and it came at a cost to him. And so ever since he got off of medication, and he's just been basically trying to live as a Christian, you know, and it's really changed a lot. And so I'm glad that he's been able to share this, not only for me, but also for so many folks, and we were able to collaborate on this Advent reading together.
Cool. Hey, David, we're running out of time here, but thank you for joining us, and may you have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, my brother. Thanks
All
for
right.
having me again.
Blessings. Ken Davis coming up next. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Thirty-one past the hour. Good morning. This is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul Perreault, filling in for Peter Kapsner, who unfortunately hurt his low back yesterday. So pray that he recovers, because we have a busy day. I have a busy week here at Faith Radio. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday is our winter share. And we're asking you to come on board as a giving family member. Maybe you haven't given in the past. We're approaching our 70th year. Believe it or not, 70 years of Faith Radio, and it's been listener-supported the whole time. We hope you can help us continue the legacy, or maybe even as you look at 2019, you're saying, yeah, I want to be part of this, and you choose to become a ongoing monthly donor in support of Faith Radio. Consider that. Join us tomorrow. We'll start it bright and early during the Faith Radio Morning Show. As we get that going, that'll be the start of our share for the 3 days here on Faith Radio. Thirty-six past the hour, Faith Radio Mornings, Paul in for Peter, who's, again, recovering from minor back injury from lifting rock salt. So, hey, stay with us. Coming up, Ruth Kramer in just a bit. But first, last week on Friday, we talked with Gary Stratton about long periods of waiting. Ah, we hate that. But it tests our faith and helps us grow.
Hebrews 11 is this incredible, you know, hall of fame of people of faith. And yet, if you read it carefully, you realize there's actually two kinds of faith operating. There's receiving faith and there's enduring faith. And the greatest praise left in this thing is people who endured and didn't even get to see the answer to prayer with their own eyes. They had to wait until the coming of the king. And it says the world is not worthy of them. And when we're young, God's trying to train us in receiving faith, I think, young in our faith, that he really is there for us. But as we grow older, he wants to build deep, enduring faith in us, faith that can persevere for long periods of time and pray for impossible things, sometimes for decades.
I always enjoy hearing from Gary Stratton, just such practical stuff. And if you'd like to hear that interview, go to myfaithradio.com under the Faith Radio Morning Show page. You can find the podcast, including Gary's segment that was part of hour number one of the Friday show. Ruth Kramer up next. This is Faith Radio Mornings.
Satan is our enemy, but God is our refuge in a hostile culture. This is Jim Garlow. The devil tries to steal from us, robbing us of our joy, peace, and confidence. But I'm happy to remind you that what the serpent of old steals, God returns. That's the difference between the evil one and our Savior. One comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The other one comes to bring abundant and eternal life. In the midst of life's trauma, pain, suffering, disappointment, and persecutions, God rises up and he begins to return to you so much that was lost and destroyed by the enemy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 and 4 remind us, "Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you." Let that be a comfort to you, especially this Christmas season. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Good morning. It's Faith Radio Mornings, 21 before the hour. And joining us, as she does every other Monday, is Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Ruth, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm upright. I have half a cup of coffee in me. I guess we're good.
That's all you need. That's all you need. Hey, we're in the Christmas or Advent season, and we've been asking a lot of our guests, what are your favorite, actually, what is your favorite Christmas song?
You know, I'm actually going to go with a piece because it's the whole story. It's the Messiah Oratorio. I love everything about that. I grew up listening to my mom practicing certain pieces from that for a performance for her degree, and my dad would blast it at volume 11 every Christmas morning. And if you were in our neighborhood, you probably got awakened by that too.
There you go. So you're talking Handel's Messiah or something?
Messiah, the oratorio.
Okay.
And my dad would blast the Hallelujah chorus at 6 o'clock. And on Christmas morning.
Oh, well, might have to do a little work here to find that, because we've been trying to, you know, in the next segment or whatever, find that song and play a portion of it. So that Rachel has her challenge now, and she's got this look on her face, challenge accepted. So see what she can do. See what we can do. If not, we have an alternative. But anyway, let's talk about the area of missions and actually I want to get caught up on what's happening with Asia Bibi. Now, this has been a long story that just doesn't seem to want to end, even though it felt like it should have ended by now. Give us the background. Who is Asia Bibi and what was the situation she was in?
Okay, well, Asia Bibi is kind of the poster child for the blasphemy laws in Pakistan. She was a Christian who was accused of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad. It was a dispute that she had with some other women in the field that she was working with. And that case grew under the blasphemy law in Pakistan. And it sort of brought out the need to have some law reform because this particular law is well known for basically settling small disputes. In this situation, she was convicted of the blasphemy law. The penal code in Pakistan requires a death penalty if you do get convicted. But she did exercise her right of appeal, and her case went all the way up to the Supreme Court in Pakistan, where she was acquitted. The charges were overturned. The conviction was overturned, and she was supposed to be set free. Now, the situation being the party behind this, more like the party that has been pushing for a stringent blasphemy law punishment. They're known as the Tariq al-Labayak, so it's the TLP party, has been pushing for more strict interpretation of the blasphemy law. And because of her acquittal and release, they're calling for riots in the city, in all of the major cities across Pakistan. That seems like it's settled down a little bit now, but the situation is has been made clear enough where the government is very concerned about what these TLP clerics are going to be doing next. So they have actually executed a series of arrests, and a number of the party leaders have been arrested and charged with sedition. So there's a lot of those people who are fomenting the rioting and things like that are actually behind bars facing some fairly serious charges, and also including terrorism. The situation remains unchanged for Asia Bibi and her family. They can't leave Pakistan because the TLP put her name on a list that says she can't leave the country legally. And so the process of asylum is underway. She's at a safe house right now, and I think they're moving the families around pretty quietly so that nobody knows actually where they are. The typical situation that we see with this kind of thing with people who've been acquitted of blasphemy is that they're usually hunted down. There's a number of fatwas that are usually following people who have been acquitted of the blasphemy charges. And we know at least 70 people have been executed in street justice, so to speak, as a result of similar situations here. So it's a serious situation for the country. You've got a lot of discontent. Number of countries in Europe have offered asylum, but it can take up to 10 years to get an asylum visa. So their ministry partners that are trying to work with the family are looking for a way around that and still legally allow her family and her to leave the country. Her lawyer arranged for his exit much earlier on. So as soon as they got the verdict, he was gone. He's actually in Europe right now.
Okay. Now, that was a big question because, okay, she has to go through the asylum process. And I'm just thinking, you know, Europe – or let me clarify. Britain refused the asylum, I've heard, and a few other countries have. Why hasn't the U.S. stepped up?
You know, that's a really good question. And the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom has been calling for a decision from the Trump administration to at least offer asylum to Asia Bibi and her family. However, you know, if you've been following the situation with asylum and refugees and that kind of thing with the Trump administration, that's where this request is falling. It's in that no man's land right now. So you can keep praying. You can advocate. You can call senators and let them know that you would like to see a special case made for the Bibi family. These are serious situations, and it's obvious that these people who are accused of blasphemy, acquitted of blasphemy, are in danger for their lives. So, you know, we can also be advocating amongst the not only our own senators, but also with the USCIRF to call for change in the blasphemy laws. As far as we know, in Pakistan between 1987 and a couple of years ago, almost 1,500 people have been charged under the blasphemy law. Some of those are very small cases where somebody was just trying to settle a land dispute. Some of them were petty kind of arguments, and some of them became much more serious, where you have missionaries who've been accused of that. In fact, the partner who is connected to the High Court, who's been feeding us information about the Asia Bibi case, has been telling us that they're trying to get their country director out of that country because he has been charged with blasphemy. He was convicted of blasphemy and acquitted, and he's trying to get out of the country right now. So his process has been slowed down. He's been going at it for a couple of years now, and it's a very difficult situation. So what they're asking for is for believers to be praying and to find a way to give voice to these stories where these people have no voice. So these are believers in Pakistan who are under a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. So we can't be praying knowledgeably. But also, really, in this case, you know, we're calling for advocacy at some point. So you can call the USCIRF, or you can call your congressman and actually make your opinion known on what needs to be done here.
Okay. We're talking with Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. And when we come back, we're going to talk about persecution, or at least potential rising persecution in Indonesia, all because of a phone app. We'll be talking about that shortly. Oh, by the way, Ruth.
Yes?
She did it. She found your handle's Messiah. Here we go.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go, make it so, make it so, make it so.
For you,
now,
Ruth.
Show
I don't know if you ever heard that before.
I have, and it cracks me up every time.
I know you're a Trekkie. Anyway, we're talking with Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News, and hey, thanks for joining us, Ruth, and keeping us updated on the stuff around the world and the church and missions and also just those hard places in the world. And I guess the next place we want to go to, from Pakistan, not too far away, to Indonesia, which is, right now is facing an interesting situation, all because of a phone app.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you hear the line, there's an app for that, there actually is an app for this. It's being called the Heresy app. It's a nickname for an app called Smart Pakem, which is available now only in Indonesia at the Google Play Store. And it actually allows the users to report groups who are following or practicing a religion that's not officially been recognized by the state. So And that also includes like the unorthodox interpretations of the six official religions, which do include Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, and Buddhism. The situation is bringing a lot of concern to the forefront, because even the prosecutor's office is saying that this could be the forefront of a wave of persecution, of unjust oppression against the religious minority in the country, which is Christianity. You have to keep in mind that up until now, Indonesia has been largely considered very tolerant of multi-faith populations. And so we know that some of the areas in this archipelago are more stringent in their interpretation of Islam, and that there are some areas that are very, very dangerous and that have been on persecution watch lists for a long time. There are other areas where the freedom to follow Christ is much more open. So something like this could be very problematic in an area that is home to millions and millions of people with a very diverse ethnic population and also a very diverse religious population.
Yeah, I found it interesting in your article at Mission Network News about the Heresy app that not only is it just you can report, but then it'll give you the current list of religious edicts and fatwas and such. I'm kind of going, jeepers, Zach. You know, you talk about people taking matters into their own hands. This can only empower that.
Yeah, and this is an issue that is being watched by the international church too, because if it could be done in Indonesia, imagine what would happen if it was released in Pakistan.
Yeah.
At this point, thankfully, you know, the app isn't getting very good traction because it's not being rated very well out of by its users because it's very clunky. So yeah, hopefully people lose interest in it because it just doesn't work very well. But our ministry partners like FMI and Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors basically say, we want you to pray, because the body of Christ in Indonesia needs to know that they are not alone, that we are aware of the situation, and that we are intervening on their behalf before the creator of the world. So just be praying for the Indonesian church, that they would continue to be bold in their witness, that they would be wise in what they do, that, you know, even if you want to pray for supernatural intervention, that something happens with this app that it completely crashes and it doesn't work anymore. You know, these are all realistic things to be saying. This is what we're asking God to do, because he can.
All right. We just have a few minutes left, Ruth, and want to back up a little bit to you just got back from California, you said. And when we first connected, your voice was kind of raspy because of, I guess, the smoke in the air and such. Still in California, or?
Yeah, well, there's a combination. This conference that I was at, finishing the task, was held hosted by Saddleback Church. And so we had these huge worship sessions and stuff, and they're using a fog machine. There's some leftover smoke that's drifting all over the place. So in the morning, it was very foggy, you know, with a smoke smell. And then I'm allergic to white pine. So, so I've just been hacking up a lung, and I keep having to mute myself so I can hack up a lung so you can't hear me.
Well, I appreciate that. But let's get back to the conference you were talking about, finishing the task, and what was that all about, and what was discussed there?
Finishing the Task is a conference that engages mission organizations and the North American Church together to just kind of put out there who is left in the world, the unreached, unengaged people groups that don't have they have no Bible, no body, and no believers. So there's no church engagement, there are no missionaries, and there's no translation of the Word of God. And a few years back, I'm going to say, like, I know that last year we were looking at over 1,000. And a couple of years ago, it was, you know, a couple thousand. This year, when we came into the conference, there were 343 unengaged people groups for gospel engagement.
Wow.
And this year, at the end of the conference, finishing the task, all of those people groups were adopted by ministries and missionaries with the intent of finding some way to engage these people groups within the next 2 years.
Wow. So, this is... You know, our church is really the church I attend is really big on this issue, trying to reach unengaged people groups, and we keep hearing the number 2,000 or 1,000, and you're saying 348.
343 left, and all of those were adopted this year. So as of today, all of the people groups that were on the list for the unengaged, unreached people groups, generally speaking, have been adopted by some kind of mission group or a missionary. There was a guy who's a missionary in China, and he walked up there and he said, I feel like God is pressing on me an urgency to see this get done. I'm going to take everybody left in China. I mean, that's like 50 years. And I'm like, you're one dude, but you just said a big yes to God, and it's going to be really cool to see what happens. So, I mean, now you might be asking yourself, all right, so finishing the task, the theme of the conference was within sight. Like, we are within sight of the goal. And now that we have all of these people groups spoken for with someone committing to find some way to bring a Great Commission expression to those people groups. The reason that they're left, by the way, is because they're some of the hardest groups to reach, whether it's by remoteness, whether it's by pushback or any of those kinds of things. These are some of the hardest regions in the world to get to.
Okay. We have to cut it short there, but if people want to find out more, finishingthetask.com, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All
or
right.
Finish the task, or you can find out the latest on the stories at Mission Network News.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Ruth. Have a great Christmas. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio Mornings. Hello. Hour number one is done of Faith Radio Mornings. Hour number two on the way. Now, even though Peter couldn't be here, he did have a chance to talk with musician Andrew Peterson about Christmas and Advent music. We'll be hearing that interview in just a few minutes. Plus, David Aikman will join us next hour, getting us caught up on a lot of world news, including stuff happening in Europe. It's kind of crazy between Brexit and some of the protests happening in France. We'll talk about that and more. Stay with us. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.